Praise the Lord. Last Sunday morning, we began a two-week series in prophecy updates in the morning and in the evening. Last week, we looked at the days of Noah. This evening, as I promised you, we'll be looking at the days of Lot, a message I call Remember Lot's Wife. So if you want to turn, to Luke chapter 17. Luke 17. I encourage you, if you weren't here for the last two Sunday mornings, especially this Sunday morning, if you get the message on Romans chapter 1, and actually goes right along with a lot of this. It's just like 1 John. We read 1 John during communion. It goes right along. And it's just crazy. It goes along like that. Luke chapter 17, beginning verse 20. I'll turn there. We'll pray. And Lord, as we look at your word now, Father, that you would give us eyes and ears to understand. Bless us. Bless your word in us and through us. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus answered them, "The kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed. Nor will they say, 'Look, here he is,' or 'There.' For behold, the kingdom of God is within you." And he said to the disciples, "The days are coming when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man. You will not see it. And they will say to you, 'Look there, look here.' Do not go out and follow them." You know, there's going to be goofy people, I have to say, that are going to go out and look and follow them, even people that claim to be Christians. But he said so many times, when they say that to you, you don't go. Because I just worry about the next counterfeit revival, what it's going to be. Just like when they say, go to Pensacola or go to Toronto Airport Vineyard. And people went and they flocked. Jesus said, do not go out and follow them. You don't have to worry about Jesus coming. It's not going to be like a local concentrated thing. Like he's going to come to Boise, Idaho, and everyone else in the U.S. is going to miss out. It isn't like that. Because look what he says in the very next verse. "For as the lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other, so will the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man." We looked at this last week. They were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage, right up to the day where Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. And this is what I'm going to concentrate on here, right, in verse 28 and following. "Likewise, just as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But on the day when Lot went out from Sodom, fire and brimstone rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. So shall it be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, let no one who is on his housetop with his goods in the house not come down and take them away. And likewise, let the one who is in the field not turn back." And verse 32, and real important, "Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life will keep it. I tell you, in that night there will be two in one bed. One will be taken, the other left. There will be two women grinding together. One will be taken, the other left." And they said to him, "Where, Lord?" And he said, "Where the corpses, there vultures will gather." I want to back up again to verse 32. And these three eerie words that Jesus just said in the middle of all that. Remember Lot's wife. Now, we see, and as we see, and again, in case you're asleep, you might not notice, the days of Noah and the days of Lot. And all he was really saying is life's going to be going on as normal. That's the idea. if you never caught that before. It's not anything special. It's when he says people married and given a marriage. It's just saying life goes on as normal. People do their lives. They get up and go to work. They work their 40 hours, hope they get their paycheck, try to pay their bills with the money. It's just going to be life going on as normal. That's what he's saying here. He's not saying it's going to be some special crazy thing. And we think of Lot, and I don't want to turn to Genesis chapter 18 right now. Abraham asked the Lord, when the Lord visited Abraham, was standing right in front of him. The Lord came with two angels. The two angels had started their way to the city of Sodom, where Lot was staying. Lot was Abraham's nephew. Lot followed Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees. Lot prospered. Why? Because he hung out with Abraham. When you were with Abraham, God's people, he just was blessed. And so they had each had so many sheep and cattle, they separated. And Lot did a dangerous thing we're going to look at in a few minutes. The answer, as illustrated here, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked, is no. That's in the Old and New Testament. For before judgment could be poured out on those cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, before fire and brimstone would come down out of heaven, God rescued Lot and his house. He rescued the righteous. Now, of course, I always have an issue with this. This is personally Lot, righteous, I always say. A guy who calls perverted people there in Sodom his brothers. A man who offers his two virgin daughters to the homosexuals who want to rape them. I just have an issue with that. But God calls him righteous. Don't listen, worry about what I'm thinking. God says he's righteous. He's called in 2 Peter 2:5 through 9. Righteous Lot. The man who lingers when the angels are dragging him out of the city. Righteous. A man who tries to get his sons-in-law to come along. And they laughed at him because they thought he was a nut. But Peter calls him righteous. How can he be considered righteous? Because righteousness is imputed solely upon simple faith, just like it is in the New Covenant. We're justified by faith, not because we got it all together and we repented of every sin and confessed each one and covered over it, made sure. No, we're made righteous by faith in the finished work of Jesus on the cross, period. Nothing added, nothing taken away. And I'm righteous, and so are you, if you've confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. It's that simple. Jesus is who he claimed to be, and I believe that. And if you believe that with all your heart, then you're saved. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that. Now, I like this chapter because there are a lot of people who care deeply about people like Lot, who made a profession of faith, and they end up in Sodom. They end up in some horrible city. And maybe somebody you know became a Christian, and then they're out of the Lord's will, and they're doing some questionable things, not living the way they should. So if you're worried about a Lot in your family, maybe a family member, take hope. While we don't want anyone to follow Lot's example, because it brings all kinds of pain and things that will really ruin you and problems presently as well as empty-headedness eternally, know this, that if that son of yours confesses with his mouth Jesus is Lord and believes in his heart God raised him dead, or that daughter, God will raise him up. And if he's really a believer, really believes in Jesus, he will be taken at the rapture, of which this is an account of, by the way. Both the story of Noah, we didn't get to last week, and the story of Lot, both pictures of the rapture of the church. That God takes away the righteous before his wrath is poured out. We've seen that with Noah. Noah, again, there's a big picture illustration there which we could spend a lot of time on, was in the ark. God shut him in the ark for 7 days. Sound familiar? 7 days he was in the ark before a drop came down and the people out there were laughing at him. But Noah, who was a man of righteous, of whom God said, you know, dear, what God said about Noah, Noah was a righteous man, perfect in all his generations, and Noah walked with God. That's a great commentary for the Lord to say that about. and Noah was taken up in that flood, everyone, as we just read, Jesus' words, I'm going to use Jesus' words, was destroyed. Everyone was destroyed, except eight people. I just said 7 days. There was eight people in the ark. And that's it. Nobody else. They were wiped out. And what about Lot here? Lot was in a city that's as bad as or worse than Las Vegas. I don't know how you would say it. They called it Sin City of his day. And I don't know, the Lord could paint any more of a powerful picture, say, I'm going to rescue my people, even though they live hopelessly stupid. Now I want to, again, look at those three words here. Verse 32, remember Lot's wife. Now 33 ties that together. Why remember Lot's wife? Not, why doesn't he say remember Sodom? Because you can go, by the way, as I have, you can go and swim in Sodom right now. It's called the Dead Sea. Used to be thriving cities and beautiful, lush green. That's why Lot wanted to go there. And now it's just a dead salt sea. He's talking here, verse 34, about a worldwide event. In Genesis chapter 13, we're told the story of Lot. And you remember that. Again, God was talking. Our scene is God's talking. The Lord God is talking with Abraham in a theophany, in a form of a man. He came and he ate dinner with Lot and his wife. Said, you're going to have a baby next year. They laughed. He's going to name Isaac. That's his name. Laughter. Yitzhak. And then the two angels go on their mission. God told Abraham to go back. And Abraham debates with the Lord a little. Are you going to destroy the right? What if there's 50? What if there's 40? What if there's 10? The Lord said he wouldn't destroy the righteous. There was not, listen, there was not 10 righteous people in Sodom. How do I know that? Because there was only Lot. Not 10. That's sad commentary. Same thing in the days of Noah. There wasn't anybody, anyone. It said there, we saw that last week. Remember, their thoughts were only evil continually. Having perverted sexual relations between angelic beings and the daughters of men and everything else it said, the wickedness that was going on. There was only one. God said he's going to wipe out everybody in that one, but said Noah found grace or favor in the eyes of the Lord. And so, Lot here, and as we think about this, he didn't have the faith of Abraham. And like Abraham, he didn't obey the purity of God's word. Abraham came in and out of the will of God. And Lot became a ball and chain for Abraham because he got in the way and messed things up. Now, the text says nothing in either in Genesis or here in this passage or where it talks about him. It says nothing of his wedding, where his wife came from. It doesn't say anything about his children except his two daughters after the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah. And they did some crazy stuff. They caused a lot of problems, as a matter of fact. Their two boys became the father of the Moabites and the Ammonites, the people of modern-day Jordan, ancient, they were wicked, enemies of Israel, made out of incest. But Lot picked up the blessing, as I told you earlier, by hanging around with his Uncle Abe. Do you know, hanging around with God's people, you can be blessed just by hanging around them. There are a lot of people who are blessed. You hang around with God's people. Hey, they're being blessed, and I'm going to be blessed. Because there's blessing that go with God's people. And Lot picked up that blessing. But I want to look at something. If you can just put your finger here. And let's turn to Genesis chapter 13, 8 through 13. Just real quick. Real quick. I just want you to see something because this has to do with you and I, not just the days of Lot or remembering Lot's wife. Really quick, verse 8, Genesis 13, 8. In this passage, which is very important, it says, Abraham said to Lot, let's not have any quarreling between you and me or between your herders and mine, for we're close relatives. It's not the whole land before you. Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. Abraham said, hey, whatever way you want to go, I'll take the other way. You get first picked. Lot looked around, verse 10, and he saw the plain of Jordan towards Zoar was well watered. Beautiful green area. And so he selfishly took the better, what looked was going to be better. But let's read the wording here. It says, he looked around and saw the whole plain of Jordan towards Zoar was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out toward the east. The two men parted company. Abraham lived in Canaan, while Lot lived, look, among the cities and the plain, and here's the dangerous word, and pitched his tents toward Sodom. Now that's another scary verse. We don't see anything big deal about that. It just said he pitched his tent toward Sodom. When we in our lives pitch our tent towards Sodom, that's a beginning of a sinful pattern that's going on. It's a bad thing. It's a dangerous thing. Lot, he saw the southern valley. It was watered. And he chose the better land, as I said. And he journeyed east from Hebron towards Sodom. And it says he moved his tent, or he pitched his tent, literally, as far as Sodom. What does that mean? That means he was living on the suburbs before they built them. He liked what was going on. Hey, there was a lot of money there, a lot of excitement. Great nightlife. And as we go on through this, now there's a whole, I just wanted to see pitch this tent toward. There's a whole progression. As I said, this is called the progression. I should have had this on a slide for you guys. This is the progression of sin. Number one, he saw the southern valley. See, it started with the eye. Remember Eve? She saw the fruit, that it was good to the eye. He chose the Jordan Valley. So he saw, and then he made a decision, just like you and I do. When we get tempted and start going towards sin, we choose. The devil doesn't make us do it. We choose. And then he journeyed eastward there, towards Sodom. And as we just read, then he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And eventually, in time, he dwelt in Sodom. How do I know that? Because I read the rest of the book of Genesis. He lived in Sodom. And see, this is dangerous for us, because what happens is we know about a sin or a certain thing we shouldn't be doing, and we just like hang out around it. Yeah, I'm not going to go into the bar. I'm just going to hang out in the parking lot. And even though I'm a Christian, I'm going to witness. And eventually I find myself inside doing what everyone's doing. And this is dangerous, a very dangerous thing for anything in your life. You could take this, I have 11 steps here of Lot. And number 5 is, in time, he dwelt in Sodom. Number 6 says, eventually he was accepted because he became a leader at the gate of the city. They considered him an elder there, a leader on town council. Number 7, he got to the point where when these two men came, Lot was at the gate, and he saw these two guys. He knew there was something different about them. He saw there the power of the Lord upon them. Oh, and he did everything. He knew these guys were wicked. So, hey, we're just going to camp outside. He said, no, you're coming into my house. And he took them in. They could have took care of themselves, by the way. They didn't need Lot's help. But it probably would have been better, because them going inside the house showed us even more horrors of Lot. Lot begged the Sodomites and called them brothers. Don't do such a horrible thing. They wanted to rape these two angels. They just thought they were guys because they were new. Hey, we don't know them. And by the way, that's where perversion is going to lead our country to as we go on that downward spiral we were talking about this morning. To where stuff like that will happen. I probably won't be here. I hope the Lord comes back with 40 or 50 years. But I do see in the very near future, just as it's okay if, gays marry, There are 50, 40 and 50 year old men who are in love with 9 and 10 year old boys. There's so many of them out there. And our American Civil Liberties Union believes that they have the right to love 9 and 10 year old boys. Now, God says you put people like that to death, but they think we have rights. I believe within 40 to 50 years, it's going to be normalcy. And maybe they'll find some abandoned kid and be able to adopt him. And this sick pervertedness is going to get worse. It's not going to get better. So when we see what we go on and what you're going to see on results of St. Patrick's Day partying tonight and tomorrow night, as you watch your news, rioting and rapes and everything else, this stuff's going to become more normal. Just so you know that. I mean, I know some of you guys can understand that, but it's going to get more normal. That'll never happen, you're saying. Well, hey, listen, when I was in 10th, 11th, and 12th grade, homosexual marriage was, and that was in 1978. If you guys, a lot of you guys weren't even born then, but in 1978, it was never even heard of. Who would ever think such a, get out of here, you would say. Now it's being accepted and will be accepted by every state in 5 years. So before you say that would never happen, that's what I said. I was wrong. Lot begged these guys and said, brothers, don't defend them. So what did he do? Because I don't want to go, it will take too long to go through the text. He offered his two virgin daughters to do with them as they willed. That means to abuse them. But as when you deal with wicked people like that, they didn't want the girls. They had a low respect for Lot because of the way they talked to him. And even his prospective son-in-laws, they thought he was just joking, and they laughed. They thought it was a big, funny thing. In chapter 19, in verse 16 of Genesis, it tells us another sad word. It says, Lot lingered when he was to flee. He lingered. He hung out. He didn't want to go. Hey, he's got his stuff here, his house. You know, I just spent $60,000 putting the roof and new walls and insulation up. I'm not rolling away from my house. Got more money into it than it's worth. And then he argued with the, after they, the cities, Sodom and Gomorrah were overthrown with fire and brimstone. Number 11, he argued with the angels. His wife was already turned to a pillar of salt. He argued with the angel, saying, you know, I want to go back. And then he said, oh, I don't want to go there. I want to go to that over there, Zoar. It's greener over there. Now, he lost all of his property. This is another thing. Lot had lots of stuff when he went in. He only went out with him and his two girls. And then number 12, he ended up having his two daughters got him drunk, and each of them in consecutive nights conceived from his seed and bore us the Moabites and the Ammonites. What about Mrs. Lot? Again, we don't really know much about her. We don't see his wife when he left Abraham. It seems, and again, this is my opinion, it seems he picked her up along the way or in Sodom, in a place where they didn't want women. How many of you girls would like to have a dad like Lot? Who would say, here, take my daughters, do as you will. Just think, you think about how crazy that is. And again, God calls him righteous Lot. When we're in sin, the world hurts those who are closest to us, and we allow it. And as Lot and his daughters were being pushed out of town, along with his wife, the angel said, whatever you do, don't look back. Whatever you do, don't look back. Just go. You know, this is nuclear stuff, and it's going to mess you up if you look. Don't look back. And Lot's wife turned. Who her friends were, where all the parties were, her bridge games, her knitting club. And she turned. She turned, looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. And this is what Jesus remembers. He said, remember Lot's wife. As they're being pushed out of town, she was frozen in time as a pillar of salt. And here in our text, back in Luke 17, if you want to turn there, you don't have to, but Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Jesus said in a powerful exhortation, only three words, three simple words. Remember Lot's wife. Could it be Lot's wife was thinking about her sons-in-law not coming or family and friends? We don't know what she was thinking about. Something that she left in Sodom, maybe her jewelry. Whatever the reason, she looked back and became a pillar of salt. That's a fact. What happens to a person who's been saved, but looks back or turns back? As they look back, longing for the things of, oh yeah, when I was with the devil's crowd, I didn't have this problem. That's what we say. You know, I heard it for myself the first couple. Yeah, before I was saved, yeah, I go back with the devil's crowd. I was so much better there. What were you? You know, we always forget the puking at the toilet. Waking up in the hospital from an overdose. We forget all that kind of stuff. We don't think about that. People ripping us off, taking advantage of us. All we remember is, oh, it was better there than when I'm serving you, Lord. I'm going to go back. And we threaten God. What happens to the person who's been saved and he looks back from the life in which he or she was rescued? You know what happens? I'm going to tell you. Your life with the Lord doesn't progress. Like Lot's wife, you can become paralyzed. Yeah, you might not turn to a pillar of salt, but you become ineffective for the kingdom of God. That's a bad thing. When people look at you and see that you're whatever you are, you say you are in Christ, they don't see that. And they will. Even your friends in the world, they'll call you a hypocrite. And your life's paralyzed from changing anyone. You're just no different than a pillar of salt. Lot's wife, number one, was disobedient. She didn't listen to the pure word of, don't look back. Let's go, guys. No. You know, remember, the angels had to grab them and pull them by the hands. They didn't want to leave. She didn't live according to the word. When she was told not to look back, she turned back. She didn't walk by faith, Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And she couldn't let the past go. And that might be some of us. You got to let it go and move on. Paul says, one thing I do, I forget what's behind, and I press on toward the goal of the whole God. I already know all the good, bad stuff I did and the good stuff I did back there, but I'm going on. And she laid, number five, all her worldly members and her possessions in her mind. And she just couldn't walk away from it. Because the turn back doesn't mean that she just looked like this, like you hear in stories. It means she started going. That's what it means. She started going back. Salt sprinkled is useful. Jesus said salt is good, but salt pillars are only good for memorials. Nothing else. Remember Lot's wife. So I'm going to read a couple passages of scripture. I'm going to ask the guys to come back up. We're going to do a closing song. But I want to read a couple scriptures for us. And if you want to follow along, I'll be reading from Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. And just listen, if you can, to the word. Since, therefore,